11:55 Eastern Time, and Columbia and its affiliated stations bring you Elmer Davis and the news.
The year-end talk in Europe today was far from optimistic. Hitler told his people that 1940 will be the most decisive year in German history, although he added that he expected Germany to win. The Vatican newspaper, the Osservatore Romano, says that no prospects of peace are on the horizon for 1940, and adds that even the task of those attempting to keep the war within its present limits will be difficult. Hitler told his people that, I quote, "the measures we have taken hitherto neither robbed nor harmed the rest of the world. They merely gave the German people things which other nations had long had," end quote. Since the full text of his speech is not yet available, it is not clear just how he means this. Most of us will think of certain things the Poles and Czechs had long had, their own land, their own wealth, which Hitler's measures gave to the German people. But Hitler speaks of Bohemia and Moravia as age-old German districts, which he included in the Reich. Apparently, the Czechs don't live there at all. As for Poland, he said that after the destruction of the former Polish state, the old German frontiers were reconstructed. But he says nothing, at least in the extracts from his speech that we have had so far, about the rest of Poland on this side of the Russian border, which is governed by Germany almost as a slave territory. Hitler repeated that Germany did not want the war and blamed it on the plutocratic statesmen of the West, the Jews, and the reactionary warmongers. The attack on plutocracy will doubtless be agreeable in Moscow, but it is not yet clear whether it implies that National Socialism is continuing its movement toward the left. Hitler added that Germany and all Europe must be liberated from the oppression and constant threats which emanate from England, a remark which moved a British official commentator, quoted by our London correspondent Mr. Morrow earlier this evening, to remark that Hitler had obviously been searching for a new hatred, but could find only the familiar old ones, England and the Jews. More important, however, is the implication that Hitler expects a decision in the war in 1940. Field Marshal Goering, writing in the leading Nazi newspaper, the Völkischer Beobachter, says that the German Air Force is prepared for such a counteroffensive against the Allied blockade as the world has never seen. "No country in the world is so vulnerable from the air as the British Isles," wrote Marshal Goering, and added that it needs only the Führer's command for the German air fleets, which have been flying over England taking photographs, to drop bombs instead. A few nights ago, our Berlin correspondent, Mr. Scharer, reported that it was the general unofficial opinion there that something would have to happen before long, and that most probably it would be an air attack on England. A bulletin from Montevideo, Uruguay, announced officially tonight that the German supply ship Tacoma must leave Montevideo Harbor within 24 hours. Uruguay considers the supply ship an auxiliary warship, it was said, presumably because it was attempting to supply the battleship Graf Spee. The question now, of course, is whether the Germans will go out within the 24 hours or accept internment, and it's conceivable that the Tacoma will be scuttled as the Spee was by her own crew. In Finland, Russian attacks on the Karelian Isthmus were again repulsed, and the Finns crossed the eastern border at a third point into Russian territory. In spite of snowfalls, the Russian Air Force attacked three towns today, and some people were killed, but not many, according to reports received so far. Stories that Russian shock troops from the Caucasus and the Far East are joining in the attacks are probably premature. They have a long way to come, and Russian railroads are not very efficient. Quite possibly, however, they've been sent for. In Washington, Senator Austin of Vermont, assistant Republican leader in the upper house, recommended that the Neutrality Act be amended to exempt republics such as Finland, which are victims of aggression. The neutrality law has not been invoked in the Russo-Finnish War since the Russians never called it a war, but Mr. Austin thought it ought to be amended anyway. He also said he was heartily in favor of lending the Finns $50 million to purchase war munitions. President Roosevelt today appointed Charles Edison Secretary of the Navy. Mr. Edison, who had been Assistant Secretary, had been acting as head of the department since the death of Secretary Swanson last summer, and there was a good deal of speculation as to why the appointment was so long delayed. Republican leaders in the Senate and House were invited to the annual Democratic Jackson Day dinner by former Attorney General Cummings in charge of the affair, and our Washington correspondent, Mr. Warner, reported earlier this evening that they immediately became suspicious and concluded that it was some sort of Democratic trick, especially after Mr. Cummings told them that the president's speech at the dinner would not be political.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.